Chapter 7. The moonlight illuminated Becca and Hei Wan's curves as they stood naked in front of me. My new wives slowly spun around and gave me a full view of their perfect bodies. And I didn't think I'd ever gotten undressed as quickly as I did in that moment. I threw my clothes down beside me as I dropped back into my chair, and both girls giggled. Becca purred as she knelt down in front of my rock-hard cock.
Looks like somebody's already excited.
How can I not be? I asked. I married two of the hottest people on the planet. Hei Wan got on her knees beside Becca, and the girls fluttered their eyelashes at me as their hands stroked my thighs.
I think we should ask our husband what he wants us to do to honor him,
Hei Wan said, as she gently cupped my balls in her hand. And I groaned in agreement.
I agree,
Becca nodded.
He looks so fucking good sitting in the pilot's seat. I bet he'd be even sexier giving out orders. So, what can we do for you, husband?
Hei Wan blinked her electric blue eyes at me. You can put your mouths on my cock, I ordered at once.
I'd love to taste a husband's cock,
Becca giggled. The two gorgeous girls leaned forward in unison, and their warm tongues licked up the length of my shaft together. I shuddered with pleasure as they ran their soft lips up and down my cock a few times, too, and I had the perfect view of their breasts for the whole thing. Fuck, I muttered as I watched my two wives. Seeing them both lick my cock at the same time was enough to make my head explode. And I tightened my grip on the armrests of the seat to keep my shit together.
I think he likes it when we honor him this way,
Hei Wan giggled. I'd like it more if you fit all of me into your mouth, I growled softly. The Korean beauty smiled sweetly and wrapped her soft lips around the head of my erection, and she slowly began to take me into her mouth. She lowered her head more and more without stopping, and she gagged slightly as she took my entire cock deep into her throat. Oh, shit, I gasped, as I felt her throat tense around me, and her tongue pulsed against my shaft as she started to bob up and down just the tiniest bit.
Is that what you want?
Becca purred. Yes, I moaned. That's perfect. Then I reached down and grabbed Becca's magnificent breasts, while Hei Wan deep-throated my cock. And I was lightheaded with pleasure as I pinched her pink nipples to make her squeal. Then I pinched a little harder, and Becca bit her plump bottom lip as she pressed into my touch. I could hardly think straight with Hei Wan's hot throat tormenting me, and I could have sworn she was somehow forcing my dick even deeper. Every passing second made my mind spin, and I lost track of how hard I was pinching Becca's nipples. The blonde Brit definitely didn't seem to mind, and she whimpered and giggled as she blushed bright red from arousal. Then Hei Wan giggled too, as she slowly slid my cock out of her heated throat, and she took her time dragging her lips up off my shaft. Oh, that felt amazing, I praised.
Oh, you taste so yummy,
Hei Wan moaned softly.
My husband has the tastiest cock. I want to taste too,
Becca begged lightly.
My turn, right?
Oh, definitely, I chuckled. Get over here and suck me.
Yes, sir, husband, sir.
The blonde playfully nudged the Korean aside so she could settle herself closer between my legs, and she didn't hesitate to put her full lips around the head of my cock. I sucked in my breath as she started to take me into her mouth. But when she moaned to make my cock vibrate, I shook with pleasure. Then I eyed the pair of naked beauties, and I decided I wanted to see my new wives give each other pleasure too. Play with Becca's pussy, I ordered Hei Wan. I want her to come while she has my cock in her mouth.
Yes, husband.
The gorgeous Korean smiled as she reached over to her blonde friend. Then Hei Wan slowly ran her hand over Becca's stomach and down to her gorgeous pussy. The blonde made a gasping sound as she slid my erection out of her mouth and started to grind onto Hei Wan's hand. But I reached out and grabbed a handful of Becca's hair and guided her right back to my cock. You're not done, I told her. Keep going. Becca gave me a teasing lick before she took my dick back into her mouth, and she whimpered as Haywan's fingers started to move in and out of her. Becca's mouth was so warm, and her tongue was so slippery wet as she slid it up and down my shaft, that I could have came right there and then. But I forced myself to hold out. Watching the girls honor me like this was way too much fun to give in now, and I was hungry to fuck both of them. Then the blonde's eyes widened, and her flushed cheeks told me she was about to orgasm. "Finger her faster," I told Haywan. "I want to see my wives make each other come." I tightened my grip on Becca's hair so she'd stay in place, and the blonde Brit had my whole length inside her mouth as she let out a sudden orgasmic groan. She shuddered for several seconds before she finally stopped thrusting on Haywan's hand, and only then did I release her hair again. "You're both such good wives," I groaned, as the blonde slowly raised her mouth from my cock. "That was so hot. Oh, I love watching you pleasure each other."
"We like it too,"
Becca giggled, and her face was still flushed from her orgasm.
"I love hearing you tell us what you want."
The girls looked up at me from where they knelt at my feet, and they sent me such obedient looks that I knew I needed to fuck one of them immediately. "You two get to have some say in tonight, though," I said, as my cock throbbed impatiently. "Who's getting fucked first?"
"I need a second,"
Becca breathed.
"That orgasm made me all sensitive. I want my husband's cock,"
Haywan said as she slowly got to her feet.
"Deep inside me, please."
The Korean slowly turned around so her perfect little ass was facing me, and she pulled her ebony hair to her front so I had the perfect view of her hourglass curves. Her petite frame was irresistible, and I reached out to give her a playful spank. When she gasped, I gave her a firmer spank, and her butt cheek turned pink as she giggled with approval. "Come here," I growled, and I grabbed Haywan's small waist to pull her closer. The Korean goddess hovered over my lap, and she slowly started to lower herself down toward my rock-hard dick. I moaned as her wet pussy lips touched the head of my cock, and she rolled her hips around to tease me for a moment, with just the silky feel of her labia. I didn't even mind waiting, because she felt so fucking good, and looked delicious rolling her ass right in front of me. I just sat in the pilot seat and enjoyed the show. And with my two naked wives surrounding me and waiting to fuck me, I realized I was officially the luckiest guy in the universe. This perfectly soft pussy would be mine for the rest of my life, and the sexy, pouty blonde on the floor was all mine as well. The kinky possibilities were endless. Haywan finally lowered herself down, and I clung onto her small waist as she slid my cock inside her tight pussy. We both gasped as I plunged deeper inside her, and I could feel how soaked she was as she started to bounce up and down on my lap.
"Oh, Jason,"
Haywan moaned.
"I love having my husband's cock deep inside me. I feel so lucky."
"You are a lucky girl," I whispered as I gripped her even tighter and watched her ass bounce on my lap. Then Becca got to her feet and perched on the armrest of my chair, and her slender legs were parted just enough so I could see her pink pussy lips.
"Oh, I love watching you fuck her,"
the blonde Brit purred.
"It gets me so excited for my turn."
"Is that right?" I moaned, and Becca sent me a sweet little pout as she nodded in response. I reached a hand up to stroke one of Becca's breasts, and I gave her a firm squeeze as Haywan rode my cock in a deep, steady rolling motion.
"Do you like having two wives to fuck?"
Becca asked innocently and batted her eyes a bit. "I fucking love it," I replied.
"Good, because we are yours whenever you want, you know,"
the blonde purred.
"Anytime you need your wives' pussies, you don't even need to ask. Just tell us to spread our legs, and it's all yours."
"I love you both so much," I moaned as I eyed Becca's pink pussy. "Oh, I definitely love fucking you in a spaceship for our wedding celebration." Haywan started to pant as she writhed on my cock, and I was so close to coming inside her warm tunnel that I had to clench my jaw to resist. The Korean beauty was just so fucking tight. And every time she bounced her perfect pussy on my cock, pleasure shot through my whole body.
I'm going to come.
The gorgeous Korean breathed.
Jason, please, fill me up with your sperm. I love how warm it is when it spreads inside of me.
Oh, fuck, I gasped, as I felt her pussy clench around me, and I couldn't even hold back. My cock sprayed deep inside my raven-haired lover, and warmth rushed over me as I throbbed more and more to fill her to the brim. I closed my eyes as I let the sensations take over, and Becca's fingers stroked my hair the entire time I wrote out my climax. Oh, that felt amazing. I sighed when I finally opened my eyes. Haewon slowly slid off my shaft, and our combined juices dripped down her creamy thighs like a milky river.
That's a lot of cum.
Becca giggled.
Jason always makes me so wet.
Haewon grinned.
I want to be filled up too.
Becca pouted as she stroked my hair some more. Feeling left out? I whispered, and I slid my hand from her breast to her chin. Then I pulled her face closer and gave her a teasingly soft kiss, and the blonde whimpered impatiently.
So much,
Becca murmured.
Can I have some of your cock, please?
That can be arranged, I grinned. How about you be a good girl and get over to that comfy bed so I can fuck you?
Ooh.
The blonde giggled.
Yes, please, husband.
I stood up slowly and grabbed both girls by the waist as I pulled them close. They clung to my torso and showered my chest with kisses, and I let them enjoy themselves as I trailed my hands up and down the curves of their spines. When my palms slid to their tight back ends, my cock sprang to life again, and I gave both girls a quick pinch. Right, I said firmly. I want my wives in bed, now.
Yes, husband,
Haewon said at once.
Right away.
The girls giggled at my mock stern look as they hurried over to the bedroom, and I admired the shimmying of their hips as they jumped onto the mattress. Kat made a small groan in her sleep, but Idhara looked like she was dead to the world as she breathed gently without even stirring. Better be quiet, I warned, as I climbed onto the bed. Don't want to wake anyone up and make them all jealous, too.
We'll try,
Haewon giggled. Becca faced me as she waited on her knees, and I grabbed her close as she moved in for a kiss. Her full lips hungrily met mine, and I reached around to grab her ass as we made out. Becca's breasts pressed up against me, while the feel of her taut nipples made my cock even harder, and the blonde reached down to stroke my erection.
Please, fuck me,
she whispered as she fluttered her eyelashes.
I'm being such a good girl.
You really are, I whispered back, and the second she smiled at the praise, I gently pushed her onto her back. The blonde looked like a goddess laid out on the bed in the dim pink lighting, and her deep brown eyes sparkled as she spread her slender legs for me. Her perfectly pink pussy was glistening, and I ran my hands up her soft thighs as I took in the sight of my gorgeous new bride. Haewon knelt beside us and played with her nipples as I enjoyed myself. And when I turned my gaze to the sexy Korean, she was biting her lip and watching me intently. Haewon made you come so well, I said to Becca. I think you should return the favor while I fuck you.
I would love to,
Becca purred, and she reached a hand out to the Korean's cum-soaked legs. I waited until Becca started to finger my Korean wife, and Haewon gasped as she spread her legs so I could watch. I groaned as the Brit's fingers slid in and out of my Asian wife's tight pussy, and then I finally turned my attention back to Becca. I laid myself on top of the gorgeous Brit, and her body felt so soft under mine while her nipples pressed up against my chest once more. Then I kissed her neck as I lined my cock up with her pussy. Becca moaned in my ear.
Fuck me as hard as you can. Just really plow me. I need it.
My head almost exploded as I looked down to see Becca's cute pout looking up at me, and I left a kiss on her plump lips before I straightened up and slowly slid the tip of my cock inside her. She felt so tight and warm that I couldn't even keep a slow pace, and I moaned as I thrust it deep into her tunnel all at once. Becca gasped, and I brought my hands to her heavy breasts as I fucked her harder and watched her fingers slide in and out of Haywan's pussy. The blonde Brit took quick and shallow breaths as I sped up my pace, and she clutched her own hair as throaty whimpers kept escaping from her lips. Her cheeks flushed pink as I rammed my cock in and out of her, and her breasts bounced with every thrust while I palmed her supple flesh. Then she raised her legs off the bed, and I sank balls deep into her pink pussy.
Fuck yes!
Becca moaned quietly.
Your cock feels so good, Jason. You're so deep inside me.
I looked over at Haywan and saw her bouncing up and down on Becca's hand. Her round breasts bobbed right beside me as her hips rolled in tight circles, and the sight was almost too much to handle. Then Haywan let out a cat-like whimper as Becca slipped another finger inside her pussy. I can't believe I have such fucking hot wives, I moaned. I love watching you play with each other.
We like giving a husband a show,
Haywan smirked. Then rub your nipple some more, I whispered. The Korean brought her fingers to her breasts, and she fondled herself as she held my gaze. Then she pinched her chocolate-colored nipples hard enough to make them stand at attention, and she bit down on her lip.
Like this?
Haywan purred. Just like that, I groaned, and fucked Becca even harder. The blonde's legs jolted in the air, and I squeezed her tits harshly as I thrusted more and more forcefully. Becca took the pounding with a blissful smile on her flushed face, and the rougher I got, the wider she spread her legs.
I'm going to come,
the blonde gasped.
Fuck! I'm going to come!
Me too, I growled.
Yes!
Becca nodded desperately.
I want to be filled up with my husband's cum.
You will be, I moaned as I eyed Haywan's pussy one more time. The Korean had my cum seeping from her as Becca roughly fingered her, and Haywan let out a moan of pleasure as she squirted all over Becca's hands.
Fuck!
The Korean gasped.
Becca, your fingers feel so good.
Becca opened her mouth as if she was going to reply, but my climax hit instantly, and she could only moan as her own orgasm crashed over her too. I locked one hand over her mouth to keep her quiet, and heat rushed over my cock as I sprayed my cream into the tight blonde. Every inch of me burned with pleasure while her pussy spasmed and clenched around my shaft to milk me, and the pink-lit room felt like it was spinning. Still, I braced myself with a firm grip on Becca's mouth and the other hand on her tit, and I kept my cock buried in her tunnel as more and more cum surged into her womb. Becca whimpered uncontrollably against my palm for what felt like a full minute, and I didn't remove my hand until I was finally done pouring into her. Oh, fuck, I gasped as I slid out of Becca's pussy, and I collapsed between the two girls. That was incredible.
I love our family,
Becca panted as she snuggled into me.
That was so much fun. I can feel your cum seeping out of me, and I fucking love it. Me too.
Haywan giggled as she laid down on my other side.
It's no wonder Jason got us both pregnant. He has so much sperm to give us.
Glad to be of service, I grinned. The two girls cuddled close, and I put my arms around them as we got comfortable.
The marriage is now official,
Becca whispered.
We are hereby lawfully married now that our husband fucked our brains out. And because we honored him as we should,
Haywan added.
Were you pleased with us, Jason?
So fucking pleased. I sighed toward the ceiling. Married life is shaping up to be pretty fantastic.
I agree,
Becca mumbled sleepily.
There is no better way to go to bed than getting a good fuck from our husband.
Haywan moaned in agreement. I closed my eyes as the girls' warm bodies pressed tighter against me, and I still felt slightly lightheaded from the amazingly hot sex. The only thought in my head was how lucky I was and how much I loved having my girls on their knees with my cock in their mouths. And it wasn't long before I fell into a warm, deep sleep beside my beautiful wives.
Wakey, wakey,
Kat said gently, and I opened my eyes to see the soldier standing at the foot of the bed. Her blonde curls fell over her shoulders as she cocked her head and gave me that heart-stopping, lopsided grin. "Morning," I mumbled as I sat up with a yawn. My body felt well-rested, and I definitely needed those few hours of sleep.
"Have a good night."
The pretty soldier grinned as she glanced at Becca and Heiwan.
"I thought I heard something last night, but figured it might have just been my dreams."
"We made the marriage official," I grinned. "It was incredible, but there's also a certain beautiful corporal who I need to fuck really, really soon."
"How about right after we save the world?"
Kat laughed.
"I want to book a night with Jason the Dino Slayer."
"I'll pencil you in," I chuckled. "It's a pretty full schedule, but there's always time for you." Kat smirked and then took a seat in the pilot's chair to pull on her boots. Outside, I could see that the daylight had just started to creep in, and there was an orange glow on the side of the wooden building. Suddenly, the radio crackled, and Leo's voice echoed through the ship. His gruff hums weren't exactly a relaxing alarm clock, but the girls stirred beside me. Becca grumbled beside me.
"Turn him off."
Adhara sat bolt upright and said something in her native tongue with her eyes still closed. And Heiwan stretched like a cat and slowly sat up as she rubbed her eyes. "Let's go and find Arnie," I said as I shuffled to the end of the bed. "The Hadron Collider must be on by now."
"Let's hope so,"
Kat sighed.
"It's been about 6 hours. That must be enough time."
Adhara and Heiwan climbed out of bed and started to sleepily pull their clothes on. Becca continued to lie face down on her pillow, and I grinned as the blonde made a groaning noise. "Becca," I said, "we kind of have an important day, remember?"
"Fine."
The blonde huffed as she sat up.
"Why does world-saving always have to start so early?" "It's not that early,"
Kat shrugged.
"I would usually get up at this time to go to the gym before all this." "We know,"
Heiwan groaned.
"You're lucky you're hot,"
Becca said as she shuffled down the bed with a pout.
"Because if you wake me up at bloody 4 a.m. to go to the gym when this is all over, I may have to murder you."
I smiled as I pulled my pants on and imagined the not-so-distant future with my girls. A world where Kat would have a gym to go to, and we had a real house to live in with the kids. I wanted our only worries to be what to have for dinner and how many times a day we would get to have sex. It felt like that life was almost within my grasp, and we were so close to changing the world forever.
"Can we have the garden?"
Heiwan asked as she pulled on her shirt.
"For the kids to learn about plants and things and play in? A big one,"
Becca nodded as she scooted off the bed.
"With a hot tub." "Hot tub?"
Adhara asked.
"A tub of hot? It's like a warm bath,"
Becca explained.
"With bubbles. You sit inside it and it's all relaxing." "Oh."
The alien nodded.
"Hot tub sounds good. Yes, we will have this."
"Anything for my ladies," I grinned. "I promise I'll get you the nicest house on the planet. Once we kill all the bloodthirsty prehistoric animals that are trying to eat us."
"There's always a catch,"
Becca sighed dramatically. There was a strange atmosphere of excitement and nerves in the ship, like before we had gotten married. Although there was a hell of a lot more pressure from this day to go smoothly than there had been on my wedding day. Once we had all pulled our clothes on and laced up our boots, we grabbed our sharp guns and blasters before we headed out of the control room. I led the way toward the exit, and the sunrise gave the force field an orange hue to its glow. We paused to listen out for any close dinos, and it sounded like there was something large moving around nearby. The constant noise of the roaming herds was still deeply unsettling, and all we could do was make sure we weren't spotted by the hundreds of prehistoric creatures that roamed in the near distance. I leapt out into the open air and quickly surveyed the surroundings to check there wasn't anything in the immediate area, and I felt a chill as I watched the movement of the massive herd just a few fields away. None of the dinosaurs seemed to notice me, and I gestured for the girls to follow me to the entrance of the dome. The sky was clear, and the only roars I could hear were a good ways off from us. It was warmer than it had been the day before, and there was barely any wind to carry our scent. It was a fucking gorgeous day to save the world. "Morning," I nodded at Leo as the large alien emerged from his ship. He looked as expressionless as ever and had his sharp gun clutched in his hands as he surveyed the sky.
Yes, he said. It is morning.
Time to travel to space.
Kat grinned as the girls joined us outside.
I can't believe we're about to stop the fleet.
Have you had any updates on your map? I asked Leo. Is the mothership any closer?
It is, he frowned. But we still have a small amount of time.
What does that mean?
Kat asked.
Like an hour or a week?
I cannot tell for certain, Leo said. I explained before that I can only track when it stops. It is coming. We need to be fast.
His words dulled the high I still had from a night of marital sex, and it was like I could hear a ticking clock in my head counting down to the end of the world. Then let's get going, I said, and we headed for the entrance of the dome. I heard footsteps on the other side as I pushed the door open, and I saw the three CERN workers head down the curved ramp. They all had coats on, and it looked like they were planning to head out somewhere. I knew they weren't dino-fighting experts, so my nerves heightened a bit as I wondered where they could possibly have to go. Had the Hadron Collider broken horribly and caused some kind of leak or danger in the building? From what I could tell, they weren't rushing, so I assured myself that they would be moving with much more urgency if there was a serious problem. Maybe they just wanted fresh air before the massive herd closed in again. Arnie gave me a cheery wave as I stood inside the entrance, and I smiled back at the older man. He had clearly managed to find some less blood-stained clothes, and it didn't seem that his injury was causing him too much pain. Those skin patches really were incredible, and I hoped we would be able to keep some after the war ended. I figured humans would be due some compensation for all the dino bullshit, and upgrading our medical supplies all over the world would be a good place to start. Matteo, the engineer, looked as tired as he had when we met him, and he gave me a weak smile as he pressed his glasses up to the bridge of his nose. The guy just generally looked like he needed a strong coffee or a strong drink. Maybe both. Hilda had her lips pursed as she looked me up and down, and I didn't hold out any hopes to win her over. It didn't make much difference if she liked us or not, though, just as long as she didn't do anything to sabotage our mission. Hey, I said as the group approached. Is everything okay? Is the Hadron Collider working?
Yes,
Arnie nodded, and my whole body felt like it unclenched with relief.
We checked the computers not long ago to track the system's progress.
Brilliant,
Kat said excitedly.
How do we get to the machine?
There is a slight issue,
Matteo said as they reached us and my stomach dropped.
What is it?
Heiwan asked.
You said it was working.
It is, Arnie said reassuringly, but it might stop working soon if it overheats.
Something is warming up one of the pipes, Matteo said.
What?
I furrowed my brow. What do you mean? How's that possible?
There must be something big over one of the primary vents, the engineer explained. These vents help cool the computers needed to keep the experiment functioning.
Are you fucking kidding me?
Becca blurted out.
No, and it's stopping the reset from fully finishing, Arnie admitted. So we need to go and move, whatever it is.
Probably a dead dino, I sighed.
You think they've gone back to killing each other?
Kat asked as she folded her arms.
I thought they were old pals now.
Maybe one of them got desperate for food, I said. I doubt they're too moral to go back to their old ways if needed. I was frustrated that something else had stepped in the way of our mission. But I just had to keep calm and move whatever dinosaur corpse was slowing us down.
Apparently it's worth risking our lives for,
Hilda sniffed.
These two insisted we come to show you where the problem is.
We told you you didn't have to come, Matteo said wearily. You can stay here.
I don't want to be the only one in the building,
Hilda retorted.
What if one of those things tries to get inside?
Matteo rolled his eyes as he adjusted his glasses, and I looked at the three unarmed scientists with a sigh.
Okay, I muttered. You all stay in the middle of the group.
Do you know exactly where the problem is?
We do, Arnie nodded. It isn't far. Perhaps a 10-minute walk.
You can meet a shitload of dinos in 10 minutes,
Becca said. But we can be more subtle on foot, I pointed out. You sure it's only a 10-minute walk? Arnie nodded again and zipped up his coat higher.
Hilda's eyes were wide, and she nervously shifted her weight from side to side. The last thing I needed was someone who was likely to scream at the first distant glance of a dinosaur. But we didn't have time to argue with her about coming with us. "Listen," I said quickly, "we will do everything we can to protect you. One thing that is really fucking important is that you don't make a sound."
"They've got hearing like fucking bats,"
Kat added.
"And if one of them notices us, then that will turn into 10 of them real fast."
"The whole herd of Almaty will come,"
Edhara nodded.
"Of all different kinds. They can talk to each other,"
Haywan said.
"They team up. Even the herbivores and carnivores. All they care about is killing us all."
There was a heavy silence as the three scientists stared at us, and I stifled a smirk at the fear the girls had clearly instilled, but it was good to make the others slightly on edge. Nothing could kill a person faster than misplaced confidence. "All right," I said. "Stay close and don't make noise. Got it?" The CERN staff nodded, and I gestured for them to follow us back outside. We stepped out into the early morning air, and I swung my sharp gun to my front. "Which way?" I asked, and Arnie silently pointed to the left of the dome. We arranged ourselves so the scientists were in the middle of the group, and I led the way toward whatever the hell had died on top of the Hadron Collider. I didn't know exactly how far underground the experiment was, but it would have to be something big to cause problems from all the way on the surface. The route to the left took us past a few clumps of trees, which I was grateful for as I spotted dinos right away. The grassy landscape was covered in dark moving shapes, and I snapped my neck upward as I heard the sound of heavy wings. I furiously gestured for everyone to move under the cover of the nearby trees, and we raced under the branches to press ourselves up against the trunks. I kept my sharp gun aimed at the sky as three flying dinosaurs came into view. They soared over the science base and called out to each other in deep, haunting screams. And they were much smaller than the other flying dinos we had fought. Their wingspan was about 5 feet, and their bodies were maybe 3 feet. Their scaly flesh was a deep orange color, and they had long tails that swung from side to side as they flew. It didn't look like they had spotted us, and I considered shooting them down anyway just to have three less prehistoric assholes around. They weren't quite close enough to use the sharp guns, and I didn't want to risk drawing attention with the blaster, so I just watched as they soared over us. I glanced at the scientists and wasn't surprised to see they had all pressed their backs against the trees as much as possible, and their faces had turned several shades paler. Sometimes I forgot that not everyone was confident slaying dinos, and I was grateful for the team of badass girls and aliens I had along with me. Once the flying dinosaurs had moved on, we started to run again along the grassy landscape. The trees ran along our right-hand side, which helped hide us from view. To our left, there was a small hill with several other small buildings on the other side, so we had a little pathway that was mostly hidden from dinosaurs. The air smelled like dino shit, and I tried not to think about what we would do if that was what was causing the problem. Evaporating stuff made it smell 10 times worse, and I gagged just thinking about it. Then a seriously threatening roar rose up from the herds on the right, and Hilda let out a small whimper. I glanced over my shoulder and saw Kat scowl at the scientist. Arnie waved to grab my attention, and then he pointed to the little hill on our left. He gestured that we needed to go around to the other side of it, and we started to run around the bottom of the hill. Leaving the cover of the trees was nerve-wracking, but I couldn't hear any footsteps ahead of us. I led the group under the curve of the hill, and when I was able to see the other side, I stopped dead in my tracks. It was clear what had been causing the Hadron Collider to heat up, and it was somehow worse than a dead dino or a pile of crap. At the base of the hill, a squat brick structure stood no higher than about 3 feet off the ground. It must have been about 5 feet long, and it appeared to be what housed the cooling vents. There were two large nests clumped together around it, as if they wanted to absorb the residual heat of the vents. But then another two were wedged together on top of it. Each of the nests had about 5 blue eggs inside, and the eggs were about 2 feet tall with black speckled shells. I could see a couple of them already had small cracks down the middle, but there was no sign of the parents. There was no doubt in my mind that they would be close by. We had run into protective dino parents before, and they never strayed too far from the nests.
Shit!
Becca whispered.
Jason, what do we do?
We need to move them, I said quietly. If we use the blasters, the light will attract attention and damage the vents. If we use sharp guns to disintegrate them, their parents could smell scrambled eggs before we have time to finish. And we're still out in the middle of fucking nowhere.
Not to mention dino death goo dripping down into the vent.
Cat muttered.
We have to touch those?
Hilda hissed, and I nodded. It's the quietest way, I said as we hurried forward. If we do it carefully, then the parents might not even notice.
So how do we do this?
Haywan asked as we stood beside the piles of sticks and dirt.
Won't the nests fall apart if we try to move them?
Yeah, move the eggs first. Then we'll tear the nests away, I said, as I examined the nests. The eggs will be where the majority of the heat is being condensed, but the bedding isn't helping. We need them off the top of the structure.
And away from the sides, Arnie pointed out. It will deter the dinosaurs from reinstating if we remove all the eggs and prevent the bricks from retaining excess heat.
We pick up Omati egg? Leo asked with a raised eyebrow. You are sure?
Yeah, I said. It's not my most planned out strategy, but damn it, we don't have much time. Just roll the little baby bastards if you have to. I grabbed the nearest egg from on top of the vent with both hands and was shocked at how heavy it was to lift. With a grunt, I hauled it out of the nest, and it felt like I was lifting the weight of a grown man. I shuffled forward with the egg and then placed it on the ground before I pushed it with all of my strength. The egg rolled a few feet away and then lulled to a halt.
Will that be far enough? I asked Arnie, and he nodded. Perhaps space them out, he said, as he glanced up at the sky. Just so they aren't all sitting on the same spot.
I nodded and went in for a second egg as the rest of the group joined in. The girls shared the weight of the eggs together, except for Kat, who probably refused help out of principle. Even Arnie and Mateo struggled together to roll just one of the blue shells from the lower nests, and they managed to roll it a considerable distance with a joint push.
My family used to do this at Easter,
Kat grunted.
But the eggs weren't the size of a child and filled with something that wanted to eat me. It is somehow taking the magic out of egg rolling,
Becca snorted.
If my kid wants to do this at Easter, it's going to be a big fat no.
Human offspring want to roll egg?
Adhara asked quietly.
Why? For Easter,
Becca explained.
You know, when the bunny brings you chocolate. I'll tell you about it later.
The gorgeous alien knitted her eyebrows together, but she didn't ask any more questions. Then I heard a distant sound of footsteps, and I spun around as my third egg rolled away. I grabbed my sharp gun, and I had a feeling in my gut that the noise had been made by one of the parent dinosaurs. It was pretty much our luck these days for shit like that to be the case.
Jason?
Becca asked.
Did you hear something? I hear a noise, too.
Adhara said as she looked over her shoulder.
Something is on its way to nests.
Fuck, I spat as I looked at the half-emptied nests. It wasn't enough to leave it at that. There were still enough eggs on the top of the vents to prevent the experiment from cooling properly. The footsteps became louder, and it sounded like two dinos were on their way. My heart rate quickened, and I looked around frantically for somewhere to hide the CERN workers. Take them back to the trees, I barked at Leo. Stay with them there. Shout if you get spotted, and we'll come over. The stoic alien nodded and wasted no time in ushering the pale-faced scientists back toward the cover of the trees.
It sounds like there's two of them, I warned the girls. If we can get them down fast enough, we might have time to move the last of the eggs before more arrive.
There!
Haywan gasped.
I can see them!
I followed the Korean beauty's gaze and saw two large dinosaurs on their hind legs running from a distant little area of woodland.
Cat and Haywan, I said. You guys take the one on the left. It's slightly smaller. Adhara and Becca, help me with the other.
Blastus?
Becca asked, and I shook my head. There's a whole herd just beyond those trees, I said, as I gestured to the right. If we light those fuckers up in an explosion,
That won't go unnoticed. Sharp guns should get it done without painting a target on our backs. The girls arranged themselves into their groups, and we stood ready with our alien guns. It didn't take long for the dinosaurs to get closer, and I could see that they were about 30 feet tall as they raced along on thick hind legs. They were a light brown color with a hint of blue tone to their stomachs, and their jaws seemed unnaturally long for their faces.
I know what they are,
Heiwan muttered.
I remembered those ones from the book of that dino-obsessed kid back at Ravenscar. They're called Chingosaurus.
How the fuck do you remember that?
Becca hissed as she aimed her sharp gun.
I thought their faces were creepy,
Heiwan shrugged.
Their snouts looked like they're going to make them topple over.
Get those bullets right into the heads before they roar, I said, as the dinosaur's footsteps got close enough to shake the ground. Try not to hit any of the eggs, or the other parents will smell that a mile off. It only took a few moments for the Chingosauruses to get close enough to see the red tint of their eyes, and they opened their mouths to reveal needle-like rows of teeth. Their nostrils flared as they pelted toward us, and there were red stains that glinted around their jaws.
Steady, I said, as I aimed at the bigger one on the right. Almost. Okay, now!
I fired my sharp gun right at the fucker's head, and my bullet soared directly between the dino's red eyes. Edhara's bullet shot into the creature's open mouth, and Becca's hit just under the left eye. The flurry of bullets to the head created a mini-explosion of blood, and there was a faint gushing sound as dark red erupted from both of the dino's ears. The back of the beast's head had brains and skull flying out, and the dinosaur fell with a sickening crunch onto its long snout. Its face crumpled on impact, and the jaw was crushed back into its skull like a blood-soaked accordion. Cat and Heiwan had fired their shots at the same time, and their dinosaur had blood spurting from its mouth and neck as it wobbled from side to side. It was about to die for sure, but I saw it open its mouth to make one final roar, and I reacted in a split second to silence the fucker. I swung my sharp gun up again and sent a bullet flying right into the dinosaur's eardrum. The bullet whooshed out the other side of the skull and brought a train of red goop behind it, and the Chingosaurus was dead before the roar could escape its throat. It tumbled to the ground beside its herd mate, and I would have normally taken a few moments to celebrate a successful kill, but that countdown clock in the back of my head continued to tick toward the end of the world. Good work, I hissed, as I glanced around to check we hadn't attracted any more dinos. Quickly, move as many more of these fucking eggs as you can! We hauled the remaining eggs from their nests and scattered them around the corpses of the big dinosaurs. It only took a few more minutes for us to finish, and I felt like I was dripping with sweat as I shoved the final egg away. Then we frantically tore the nesting away from the top of the vent, and we chucked it all over the surrounding grass to clear the vents entirely. I was just wiping my forehead on my jacket sleeve when a distant, low rumble echoed through the morning air, and I grabbed my gun as I swung around to spot the oncoming dinosaur. I scanned the line of trees and over the hillside, but I couldn't see anything nearby. The sky was still a clear blue above us, and the noise didn't seem to be getting any louder like approaching footsteps.
Where is it?
Becca asked as she swung around in a circle.
It might be over the hill.
No, I said slowly as the low hum continued to ring out. It's not over the hill. It's underneath it. I think that's the Hadron Collider. The girl stared at me with wide eyes, and a grin spread over my face. It was time to go and make some black holes.